It's Tuesday, and it's noon Bible study here at Cross Culture Church. We're just so excited to have a faithful group that come. And today we have finished the book of Acts. We finished chapter 28. And so today is going to be a review and a question and answer for those that have some. And a little bit of ministry in the word as it comes forth. And so I want us to kind of go around the table here and talk about what has this study on the book of Acts done for you in the positive? What has it, or if it has, caused you to think differently about anything? Has it been informative? Has it made you think? Or where are you in? Well, no, let me change it up. It, having studied the book of Acts, has anything through the study changed what you had thought about? Because I've read the book of Acts several times. I got scriptures in my head, but upon studying it, I got a little deeper into it and noticed a few things. So, you know, you can, whoever want to go first. Of course, I take up the rear and kind of sum everything up. So, Rose, you want to go first?
Yeah. I really got a lot out of it because, you know, sometimes when you read and you really don't go into depth, you just like scanning, You kind of miss some things. Mm-hmm. And so what I got out of it was that, you know, that Paul was, I mean, he was a very religious person, and he just knew that everything he was doing it for the Lord. Mm-hmm. But the Lord had to correct him and turn his zeal around to go in the right direction and to complete the purpose that he had for him. Mm-hmm. And so when you think about it, all the things that he did to Christians before he got his revelation, You would have thought that he wouldn't have got such a great responsibility to go and minister to the Gentiles, well, the Jews and the Gentiles, because of all the imprisonments he has done and watching the Christians get killed. And so that just shows God is no respect of person. Mm-hmm. And what has happened to me in the past does not mean that God can't use me, You know, in His service, in His ministry. No matter how old you are, if you're sincere and want the Lord to use you, which Paul was, but he just was going in the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. So, and even once he got his newfound revelation, he had the same zeal he had before. So the Lord knew he was going to have that zeal to do the right thing. And no matter what sufferings he faced, no matter what obstacles he faced, he never forgot his mission. You know, it never was a setback, from what I noticed. Mm-hmm. He just kept going forward. He just kept going forward, no matter what he faced, no matter how many times he was beaten, he never got discouraged. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was amazing, because, you know, I could get discouraged easily and say, oh, you know, I thought this was going to work, or I could get discouraged with family members, Or I could get discouraged with friends who I've been ministering to and talking about the things of God, and feel that at some point nobody's listening. I don't see any difference. So this lesson in Acts has showed me it's not what I see, but it's just to do what the Lord says, And let Him do His work. I do my part, he'll do his part and just give him the glory no matter what comes out of it.
Okay. It seems like we both, well, my thing was he was just so persistent. You know, whatever the Lord told him to do, he kept doing it regardless of what all the obstacles that he faced. Mm-hmm. He was persistent. And that ministered to me more than, you know, anything that I read. And, you know, of course, I was out sick for about a little while. But anyway, from what I'm getting out of it with Paul, even though there were a lot of obstacles and he was like kind of rough around the edges, he's just stuck hold to what God had told him to do. Mm-hmm. And with me, it's ministered to me to let me know that I need to be more dedicated and I need to stick to what God say do, you know, continue to walk this walk in doing what God has commanded us to do. And this is my directions and I need to follow them. And that's what I got out of with Paul, because he was really rough around the edges. He wanted to just kill folks and just do all kind of stuff. But he still came in. God, you know, brought him in and just ministered to him, and he did the work of God. He was persistent in doing that. And that's what I wanted, to be persistent in doing what God has directed me to do and to stay focused. That's what I want. That's when you was talking, that's what came to, well, I was thinking about that anyway, but you just brought it out more.
Okay, let's put it down there. It'll pick up.
I am so grateful for the opportunity to have had an opportunity to study with this Bible study at our church for the book of Acts. I can remember one summer when I was in Texas at a United Methodist church, we were doing it on Wednesday evenings. Mm-hmm. And it was a privilege to take it then. But that was several years ago. And even now, I don't even want to stop studying the book of Acts. I'm just so excited. And I have been able to use Paul as an example for me in 2013, especially the latter half, when I have just felt like maybe I needed to stop doing this or that. And when I see all that he did, he's just one of a thousand that I think of. Hey, you're not going through anything.
Right.
So I'm just privileged to look at his life closer than I've ever seen it before. And I want to keep studying the book of Acts, even though I know we got to go into other books. Mm-hmm. But out of all of them that we have studied since this noonday has started, I think I know more at the end of this one than I did at the others.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Some of it is because of a lack of giving myself to study. Sometimes we can give ourselves to study and we are so tired-minded that we have to go somewhere and rest to really absorb sometimes. But I'm grateful that I could glean a lot more this season.
Okay. So you got more from the book of Acts than you've been able to draw more from it than you did Hebrews or Romans or John. Okay.
It had nothing to do with the teacher.
No. I'm just saying you that has impacted you.
Yes.
More.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's good. Well, just let us know what stuck out to you in the book of Acts. What was, you can give me your favorite part of it, or you can just say what it has done for me reading the book of Acts. We just want to have feedback from this particular study as to how it ministered to you. If anything changed from your study that you had previously thought about the book of Acts, but now that you studied it, you know, something was brought forth that you said, "Boy, I didn't, you know, I've studied it before, or I thought this, and now I see this." I mean, if not, I mean, I just want to get a little feedback from you.
Well, I think the Book of Acts will, to me, points out three major focal points, and that's obedience, perseverance, and seeing God work in the supernatural. Which, when you see God work and experience the supernatural, that's going to enhance your faith.
Mm-hmm.
Or if anybody else sees it occurring with them or with you, that's going, you know. So I think that a person looking at someone who, yes, was what we call a sinner, that did all kinds of horrible things,
mm-hmm.
but came into the knowledge of Christ, and how the transformation and how God used him, you could also be a Paulette or a Pauline or another Paul.
Right.
Okay,
I guess probably one of the things that really sticks out with me with Paul is once he was converted and he got on the right side,
mm-hmm.
he was serious about what he did.
Mm-hmm.
There was no turning back or turning away from, no matter what the danger was,
mm-hmm.
that was facing him. Mm-hmm. He stood on what he now believed. He was as diligent once he got converted as he was before he got converted in what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, this is what I ascribe to a Paul that, as pastor's been preaching, not just sitting and being hearers of the word,
mm-hmm.
but being doers of the word, and really acting on what the Word of God says. As it's been said, I've heard a pastor say that obey God and leave the consequences to Him. This is really what I strive to. Even when he and what Barnabas and all, they had the situation and all,
mm-hmm.
you know, it didn't stop them from doing
mm-hmm.
what they needed to do. They just separated and they still continued
right.
to do what God's word was telling them to do. And he was being led, obviously, by the Holy Spirit and had been convicted when he had his conversion and all. So, like I said, once he got on the right side, he was as diligent about it as he was when he was, you know, he thought he was doing right, but
mm-hmm.
when he realized that he wasn't, he was diligent about it. And I want to be diligent in what I know, and I want to continue to be in a position to grow so that I can learn more, which would enable me to do more.
Okay.
So, and I appreciate, you know, the time that you give to come
Amen.
To us.
Amen.
To lead us verse by verse. And I wasn't able to be here as much as I would want it to because of circumstances that I was involved in. And I pray that in the future I can be more dedicated to being here and being here on time to get all of what I need to hear. Because we all know the enemy, he works on us to make sure we don't hear what we need
yeah.
to hear. You know,
and
you can only grow
mm-hmm.
By hearing and hearing and hearing, not having heard.
Mm.
So.
Good. All right. Let me share with you all now what stuck out to me through this study of the Book of Acts. One, we can have in our minds, our wills, that there's something that we ought to do. There's some place we ought to go. That something needs to be said. But in a time of prayer, God can say, this is what I would like for you to do. This is where I would like for you to go. And so I saw this in Paul's case, where we would see him heading in one direction. He's got this idea. He's all excited about going somewhere. And then God said, no, it's not time for you to go there yet. And so that was one of the things I picked out. Sometimes we can be in a hurry and want to go do something. And then God said, well, not just yet. Well, I got something for you to do over here. You're going to get over here. I'm going to let you get there now. But there are some other things that you can do on the way to getting there. And so it's, you know, so that ministered to me, because I know that I have dreams and desires that I want to line up with God. I want them to. And these are just things that I want to do. So in our growing up and in our development, we do have our own outlooks on things that we want to do. But the key thing is to get all of that and give it to God and let God work with it. And, you know, he may shake it up. He may change it a little bit. And then you say, or come to the aspect of, not my will, but your will be done. And in the midst of all of that, guess what happens? God will give you what you want. It just may not be in the timing. But you're going to get what you want. And sometimes what we want ain't good for us.
Right.
So all that we got in mind, God said, well, I know you kind of thought that was going to work out, but I tell you what, let's just go over here and see what happens over here. So that was one thing. Another thing I found out in this book of Acts is that when you are in line with other people who are lined up under God, that you get power. Now, I know you can pray and revelation knowledge come, and you can pray and get empowered. But when you are in one place on one accord and believing for the power of God to come, it will come, and it will cause a stirring in you that you wouldn't have got just being on your own. Mm-hmm. Being the word renegade is a little harsh, but I'm just saying a one man, mm-hmm. you know, a one man wrecking crew. You know, you're out there. You know, I know people who say, well, you know, I can do this and I can do that. And I'm like, no, how about you getting with a group, being tied in with something, you know, so that you can help somebody else along the way. You know, if you're being the Lone Ranger, then that makes me think you just want all the glory for it. You just want to go in and say, well, I did it. No, it should always be a we did it. And then it was God using me to get it done. I don't, you know, I was just a vessel in it. So I got to see that in that. And that being on one accord in one place and the Spirit falling, we all need that kind of power. That dunamis power that came, boy, and to be able to say something that affects somebody that you don't even know, or somebody that don't really know that much about you, but God can put a word in your mouth that changes their life. Mm-hmm. It is something. And I'm just going to put this out here. When I go to the prisons, or I deal with youth and youth detention and even dealing with people on the street, I am never, ever, ever disappointed in God. When I go out there and God gives me something to say, his word does not return void. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I go out there, God's going to do something. And it's never failed, ever, ever. He's never, ever disappointed me. He's never, ever, because I'm taking him out there. Right. I give the people him. And the scripture is true. I don't care how you slice it, dice it, or cut it up. If you lift up Jesus, he going to draw somebody. Mm-hmm. He going to draw somebody. It just takes us to be empowered to go out there. And number three, there will be persecution. I saw Paul have people who they just didn't like him.
Right.
I mean, everywhere he went, there was somebody said, uh-oh. And boy, I mean, they flat went at him. But just because people don't like you has nothing to do with what you got to do. You can't be a people pleaser. And just think, out of all of them times he went in the synagogues, if he was trying to satisfy them people, he never would have witnessed, you know, with the kind of authority and the power. So we can't worry about or be all that concerned about whether people like us or not like us. And so to put it in new terms, we got to be thick-skinned and not thin-skinned.
Right.
You know, and even, let me move into another area. Let's just say where I like Paul, who could speak to kings, he could speak to governors. He didn't care who you were. Mm-hmm. He had a testimony. He had a word. So sometimes we can look at folk and say, oh, I don't know. Oh, yeah, you know all right. If God done brought you in their presence, we got to get over the fact that of who we are to understand who we represent. Okay? And I saw Paul, he kept saying, I know who I am. I'm a Roman citizen. So let me tell you from where I stand. So if we are not our own and we've been bought with a price, can't we say, hey, it ain't about me because I've been purchased by the blood.
Praise God.
Got a message and here it come. You know, and then here's another one. It's, we are not to be concerned about whether they receive it or not.
Right.
It's our job to give it.
Exactly.
When we put a seed in the ground, we don't go back out there and talk to the dirt and try to make the dirt, you know, give it the nutrients and everything. Once you plant that seed, it fall in the ground, all the stuff just happens just like it's supposed to. And you go back a week later or so, a little something will come up. You didn't have nothing to do with that little something come up, but you did have something to do with putting it in there.
See,
So I mean, this book has really moved me personally. Because being, or I should say possessing an evangelistic heart of wanting to go into and having had opportunity to go, being all around the world, and I've never been disappointed ever. In other countries, around this city, in other cities, towns, on airplanes, being at gas stations, people coming up. I need some direction. Well, God said if you turn right and go straight, he'll lead you where you need. I mean, just all kind of things that just come out, you know, when I'm in the grocery store. You know, people come up, boy, it's crowded in here. I say, yeah, but when you get with God, it's just you and him. And just things just come. But this book has been a treasure. Of course, you all know that my favorite book of all times is John. My second favorite book of all times is Romans. And so, you know, from then it drops to Hebrews. And even though we've just went into this and I got a lot out of it, I do have other books. But this one has touched me because the empowerment part is what I needed from it. So I'm just giving you Minister Alfred's heart on it. I got empowered by this. I did. I saw that all that I live for in the world, I need to have just as much fire and zeal for the things of God.
Right.
And when I do, I'll not be disappointed. Mm-hmm. And I have not been disappointed. And so I can concur that I don't want the persecution, but I know it's coming. I don't want to be thrown out, but I have been. I've been put out, asked to leave. But when you're first getting into this thing, you know, and you hear people talk about it, people have said this and all that, you'd be like, boy, that must be rough. I said, they keep on living.
Yeah.
And if you get excited about things of God, you're going to get talked about. You know, who you think you are. You always coming in here. I'm like, but that's what the Bible says. But, you know, we all got to get our badges. Amen.
Amen.
Floor still open. What did y'all think about that Ananias and Sapphira story in here? There's a nugget in there. Actually, a couple of nuggets in there. Ananias and Sapphira.
I know it affected me a lot more seriously this time when we were having this class than I had. I wouldn't say I took it lightly before, but I didn't take it as seriously as I should have, and I needed to take it a lot more seriously in terms of the level of deception and disobedience in that heart. They didn't even realize it themselves, that, you know, as it went along. But we just got to tighten it up and make sure, I feel, that we don't cross any lines of not being integral as Christians. You know, just no matter.
So it was an integrity issue with
you?
Okay. That was a good nugget.
And I also realized that you know, people don't like to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's all like, I think when they came out with Casper the Ghost, they kind of like downplayed the Holy Ghost, you know, and the power of the Holy Ghost. And the fact that he was there in the Trinity, and he was there when the world was created, with the power, we underestimate our power that dwells within us in our abilities, you know. And when folks talk about holiness, they always equate it with holiness church or things you gotta, you know, what the holiness church did. But we all have the holiness, the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, and that if we shouldn't shortchange ourselves is pretty much what I'm saying about what the Holy Spirit's job is in our life, because of what Jesus said, I leave you
right
the Holy Spirit to teach you, to guide you, and we shortchange ourselves because we see it as a mystical spirit, you know, or something for us to fear, when that's really not true.
Something on a higher plane.
Something on a higher plane, yes. You know, when you talk about that power, oh my Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit, you know.
I think when you're witnessing to people, they receive more of the Holy Spirit. They can kind of, you know, receive that spirit more than the ghost. Because I was stuck witnessing somebody one time. My ghost, what ghost? You know, and then, you know, you go in to try and explain it to them. And I think that they received the Holy Spirit.
So the term of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, the term of the Holy Spirit more so than Holy Ghost. Now, saints, and because as Christians, we know, you know, we don't frown on it. But a lot of time when you witness into my experience, instead of saying Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, because they can kind of receive that a little bit better.
Okay.
That's just my experience.
All right. Good.
Because you said ghosts, they go, ooh, you know, ghosts, yeah. Halloween, and all that type of stuff like that. They, no.
But that's a worldly, worldly view. And so I want us to think about it. Unless a person's eyes are open, they don't even receive that little bit. Part of it. So when in our witnessing, once we get them saved and once their eyes get to opening, you know, I never try to minister the Holy Spirit. Before they get saved. I got to talk to them about Jesus. I got to talk to them about why they need to come. And then after that, I share with them, you need the Spirit of God to dwell in you, because if you don't, it's like the glasses that you need. God give me all kind of stuff you know, to let them know that this is the next part. It's an ongoing process. You get one part, you get the next part, then your walk comes, then problems coming, and I never leave without telling them, you know, when you wake up in the morning, You still gonna wear the same shoe size, shirt size. Nothing physical is gonna change. Mm-hmm. This is all an internal, a spiritual kind of thing, and I let them know that. And it doesn't mean that now you're gonna be on a flowery bed of ease and everything's gonna just be really rosy and sweet
right.
for you.
Right.
No, it's not. And this world, is, you know, doesn't really grant you that type of thing all the time. So we have to always be sensitive to that. But I love that part. I don't think that. Well, no, let me back this up. I know for sure the enemy has done quite a good job of deceiving people and planting seeds to try to block that.
I believe, yeah.
But God knows how to pull the lid back. And you know, get all of that stuff out of the way. So as we get empowered and get excited about the things of God and take it all in perspective, that God has a plan, and all we got to do is work His plan. Mm-hmm. You know, and try to get out of the way. And when I say get out of the way, let our flesh get out of the way, and we get into God's plan. I'm sure. That's why we need to be converted.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that's why our life need to be changed. I'm sure that's why our mindsets need to be transformed. You know?
Yeah, and because like with Ananias and Sapphira, I mean, it was their own land. And I mean, if you get there and you decided, well, once we sold it or whatever, now we've changed our minds instead of just lying about it. You know, like you were given everything that you had, and the fact to me that stood out was that both of them could agree to it. Because sometimes one person might feel like they want to not be truthful, but how do you convince the other one to just stand in? Both of you, really, you know, you're deceived, and you're going against God with what you promised. I mean, they made the promise, and then you go back on it. But if you go back on it, why would you just lie, and act like you're doing what you had agreed to do, and both of you agreed to it.
I heard a guy last night said that the reason people lie is they lie for their own benefit for them, or they lie to protect somebody else. So, you know, I do know they say, I'm not for sure, that some people, they just can't help it, but I think they can. You know, but anytime a person does lie, it has something to do with them, or they're trying to protect somebody else. Because if not, why would you lie?
Right.
I mean, why wouldn't you just tell the truth? You know, if you caught a fish and it was only this big, why would you lie and say the fish was this? No, I'm just using that for an example, because they said, man, that fish just got this big. Now, man, by the time you tell it on the fifth, sixth time, man, boy, it almost pulled the boat under. Yeah, it almost pulled the boat under. But that's not how it started out. So, again, who is that to benefit? It's to make themselves look like they're somebody great when that's really not the case.
That's right. True. Again, you know, I guess in my thinking sometimes, I'm thinking, okay, you've allowed the enemy to win. Okay, that's one for the enemy, I guess. I mean, because when we do things that we know that they're wrong, mm-hmm. I mean,
right.
You've been deceived, so the enemy won, really.
Right.
In essence, you know, so, and which means I gave myself over to the enemy to allow him to win in that particular situation. And even in times when, I mean, like, say, I'll just use this for an example. If I know I should be here, you know, at the Bible study, but then I let other things keep me from coming.
Mm-hmm.
My priorities wasn't really in the right place, because when you think of it, this is an hour pretty much that we're coming to fellowship and to learn things about the Word, so we can become more informed. And an informed person, can do more than somebody that's not informed. And when you're there with iron sharpening iron, with all mm-hmm. of us sharing, even when we read the scriptures, I may see something
mm-hmm.
that you guys didn't see, or mm-hmm. vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So I need this. But then when I let the enemy tell me, oh, well, you can do that next week, you don't really need to go today. You got to be there every thing. You know what I'm saying? And you wind up, you didn't do it. But I was the loser by giving in to it. At least that's the way I see it. And even in talking with other people, I can see a lot of times how even when a person will just say, well, I'm tired, I really don't feel like going. But when we think of other activities that we're involved in, anything involving the word, we'll just, I'll do that later, whatever. But if it's some other thing, then, we're going to be there. And I'm trying not to be that way, and it's true. The enemy has won when he's talked you out of going to receive what you need to receive. Because this was set up, this was ordained of God that we would have a Bible study.
Right.
So when I'm missing, to me, I've allowed the enemy to cheat me out of what I had the opportunity to get.
Well, I tell you, I had a chance to talk about it on Sunday, but the Wednesdays that I've been able to come and I press now, for Wednesdays.
That's true.
Because there's been so much added that needed to be added to make the whole picture come. Mm-hmm. All right, we come in here on Sundays. And we get a snapshot, but we don't get the whole picture. And so if when he, on Wednesday, he kind of, goes in and adds some more color into it, add another frame to it, and it's kind of coming into view. But I've been blessed. It was so funny. Last Wednesday, I got a game on here myself. And so sometimes I get up and I say, I'm going to get it this time. So I jump on the thing, and then I end up playing 3 or 4 games. You win 2 out of 4, 3 out of 4. He said, boy, but when you think about it, it's only a game. You didn't get nothing out of it. You didn't get a dollar, dime. When you really could have been doing something else. And Pastor was talking about that same thing. I had been thinking about it because I had got where I was enjoying playing the game. Then I added another one on there that makes it even harder to win. And I'm like, okay, I psych myself up. I'm saying these little games like this, these word games, they keep your mind. People say, they keep you. I said no, they just derail me from doing some other stuff I need to be doing, meditating and stuff. I can do that stuff later. But it's funny. I'm thinking I need to do it right now when I can do that later. Cause you always have time in the afternoon, in the evening, and stuff like that. Why you got to do it in the morning? That was just something. It was, every Wednesday I make it, man, he's got something in there that kind of, touches. And I'm like, boy, God says, see, when you come, I'll nail it. I'll get it. I'll rub that area, boy, and make it, get it smoothed out. So, well, it's certainly been a joy. And so I just want to tell y'all a lot of it I've enjoyed because it's made me dig deeper and plow into it. Many times I had to go through it and been through seminary and everything. You go through it, you get a whole different perspective because, of course, they're looking at it from a different viewpoint. But every time I go in here, whatever books y'all decide y'all want to go into, I get blessed. All of my messages have been skewed a little bit more toward the right. I had always had a centerline salvation message, but now, every time in each book, I pick up a little something that I'm able to throw out, and people say, "Boy, I never looked at it like that, or I never thought about it like that." It's like, man, where'd you get that from? I said, the same place you can get it from. God just gives me, little witty stuff.
I just like it because when you read something yourself, at least with me, when I read something myself, I didn't get that out of that, because I one time Pastor was teaching on Genesis, Oh, he broke that thing down. I went to him at the church. I said, Pastor, how did you get all that out of that scripture? and then Rod Benson was standing on the side of him. He said, yeah, Pastor, how did you get all that? I said, I didn't see all that. It was, you know, me reading it by myself. And I said, how did you get all that out of there? He just smiled.